We are facing a dire situation.
This week on KSL Plus.
We are trying everything we can think of to maintain normal quality of care, and it's not enough. Let me mention again, it is not enough.
Hospitals across the country and here in Utah are facing a crisis.
It's been so hard already.
And non-COVID patients are often paying the price.
Every week that's wasted is just really scary to know how much longer his body can hold out.
I'm Matt Rascone, and this is KSL Plus. Earlier this month, news outlets reported an Alabama man died from a cardiac emergency after his family says he was turned away from 43 hospital ICUs because they didn't have either the beds or the staff to take care of him. And a veteran in Texas who served two tours in Afghanistan died from highly treatable gallstones after his family said he waited hours for a hospital bed at a Houston VA hospital. And the crisis is here in Utah.
I'm extremely worried that each of you who's watching this has a friend or a family member who's going to be in a car wreck or a bike accident or develop an overwhelming infection completely unrelated to COVID, and we're not going to have the capacity to take care of them.
2 weeks ago, Intermountain Healthcare, one of the state's largest healthcare providers, announced it was putting a pause on all non-emergency surgeries because the organization doesn't have the room or the staff to take care of people.
Our epidemiologic projections suggest that we're not even at the worst part yet.
As of this week, Intermountain is now performing outpatient procedures and taking inpatient procedures on a case-by-case basis, most often depending on the urgency of the procedure and the hospital's patient census.
Yeah. Paul's my husband, and we have 3 kids.
My colleague Brittany Tate spoke with one woman who worries the surgery delays will mean her husband may miss the one perfect kidney match.
If you'll just maybe explain a little bit about what you're going through, because right now you're literally up against a wall with this delay in surgeries.
Yeah, so we found out about his kidney failure in December, so it's been about 9 months. And he was like immediately in stage 5 kidney failure when we found out. There was no like warning period or anything. He just needed to start dialysis right away and get on the list for a kidney transplant. So our life kind of fell apart for a while, and it's been a really long process of just getting him on dialysis and then going through the whole process of applying to get a transplant and seeing if he's eligible, and then having all the wonderful, amazing people who applied to donate to him see if they could donate. And they're very, very selective, which is good, about who they let donate. And so it's been a slow process, and we, like all his brothers and sisters, were taken off pretty much right away. And so that was discouraging, because usually your siblings are your best option. And we have some amazing other family and friends that applied. And our neighbor and best friend ended up being the one who got accepted. And we just found out in August that he made it through all of the things that he has to pass to be eligible. They're very strict about making sure the donor is healthy enough and that they would be okay to donate themselves, because obviously we would never want to have someone else go through something like that if they couldn't handle it. And so he found out in August that he was approved, but he wasn't a great match for Paul. Like, he could donate a kidney, but they weren't great match together, even though they have the same blood type. And so they decided to put them on the National Kidney Registry, which is a national list for everyone who needs a kidney and who can give a kidney. All of their information is in there, and they start the search for someone who would be a perfect match, which is like they're measuring antibodies and HLA types and all this crazy medical stuff I somewhat understand now, and eplets. I don't even know what those are, but they measure those. And to find a perfect match. So that process, they said, would take like, it could be like a couple weeks to a couple months once they put them in there. And so they put them in there last Friday. After like a month of finding out he could do it, then it was a month till they could put him in there. And so they put him in last Friday, which is really exciting. But then we got that call that it would have to be delayed. And originally they had decided to take patients off of the registry altogether, just because they knew that even if they got an offer, they couldn't do the surgery right away. But through talking with them and sharing our story a little bit, they decided to put everyone back on the registry, which is really great. But just having to take it day by day and week by week of if someone finds a match, if they would actually be able to do that surgery or not. So, yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot to adjust as a young mom. It's a lot to take on through a pandemic. How are you holding up through all of this?
it just depends on the day. I've had like multiple emotional meltdowns. I don't know. And I just have to, like, I get to a place where I feel okay, and then the next stressful news comes, and you kind of just have to reset again and reset your patient's tolerance and keep going. And yeah, my husband honestly handles it a lot better than I do. He's really positive, which is really annoying sometimes. And just like, could you just get mad? This sucks. Like, this is the worst situation of our lives, and we shouldn't have to deal with this when we're both in our 30s and have young kids. Like, we never imagined we'd be dealing with this at such a young age. And you know, so yeah, it's been a lot. I cry a lot. But just try to be present and take it day by day. And it's just hard knowing that there's still just like such this hard thing laying ahead of us still. Like, dialysis is really hard. He has to do it every night, and you know, it's in our bed and in our room, and it's weird and it sucks. And yeah, so it's all been a lot just to process, take in, and then there's still, you know, the biggest part ahead of us of the actual transplant and all that that entails. And yeah, him being immunocompromised in the middle of a pandemic is definitely hard in addition to it all. So.
When you heard the announcement on Friday, or whenever it trickled down to you that it wouldn't even be an option to move forward with the surgery, how did you react to that? What went through your mind?
I was just really, really angry. It's been so hard already. And the process for a live donor, originally we were told, would take something like 2 to 6 months, which was back in January. So we're already well past our time frame we had in mind and we're hoping for. And then we got to a place where maybe there was a little hope and someone finally got approved and maybe this could be over. And so that was really, really hard. We've done so much hard work to get to where we are right now. And it's hard when something out of your control is affecting that. And it's just scary because it's already taken so long already. And he's at 5% kidney function right now, which is nothing. And so every week that's wasted is just really scary to know how much longer his body can hold out. So I was really mad. I screamed and swore a lot. And, you know, I understand the hard situation that Intermountain is in. No one wants to have to make those horrible decisions, and they shouldn't have to be made. You know, in the press conference that they gave on Saturday, on Friday, I listened to that, and you know, they said they'd never imagined having to ration medical care in America, and that's what's happening. And it's not just happening for like people who need, who want plastic surgery or like need a tonsillectomy. Like those are things that are needed but can wait. And but it's happening for life-threatening surgeries and really urgent surgeries that can't wait. And that's the hardest part.
That is so hard. It's absolutely incredible because I'm hearing, and maybe you're hearing a similar timeline, but I'm hearing like 3 to 4 weeks that they're going to postpone and then at that point reconnect and see where they can go from here. That's a long time, especially when, like you said, you are taking it day to day. So are you simply holding your breath? How are you going to get through the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, we did talk with the director of the transplant center today, and yesterday she called us on a Sunday and had, her story had somehow reached her, and so it was really comforting to have her reach out. And they did say that they do hope that for those that tier 3B surgeries, like surgeries that have been recommended to not be postponed but are having to be postponed, they do hope that hopefully in the next week or two they can open it up for those surgeries, is what she said. But they just don't know.
I certainly hope so. I hope so. If indeed that light opens, that window opens, and this is something that where you can move forward in the next week or so, how soon do you think the transplant would actually be able to happen? Is everything set in place where it's ready to go if indeed you get the green light?
No, so they're on the National Kidney Registry right now and searching for, they're doing a paired exchange, and so they'll find a perfect match for my husband and then a perfect match for his donor to give to. And so with his blood type, they estimate that search would take about 2 months on average, or something. It could be a couple of weeks, and it just depends who's in the registry at that time. And so it already takes time for that to happen, and with them getting placed back on the registry now, that is very helpful that they can at least keep looking during this time and you know, just handle the logistics of that. But if one were to be found right now, they would not, we'd have to pass up that kidney, which is heart-wrenching. And so I just really hope it doesn't come down to that.
I guess my last question, and then anything else that you would like to add, is what is it like? The pandemic has been so difficult on everyone in different ways, but your situation is unique and uniquely hard in the fact that you have little kids at home, and then you have a husband with an unexpected
life-threatening medical health problem now. And so what is it that gets you through? What is it that maybe you have been able to cling to or hope to cling to in the next couple of weeks to get through this?
We have an amazing support system and really great friends and neighbors and family. And his best friend is the one that's giving his kidney to us. And so it really helps to be surrounded by amazing people and just a lot of prayer and distraction, honestly, of just distracting myself because it's so hard to just sit and wait for that call. And now with this delay on top of that, to wonder if something would have been able to happen that's now not able to. And so just have to have a lot of patience and faith that they're doing the best they can and they know and understand how urgent it is and they care just as much. And hopefully it'll all just work out. My husband, at the very beginning of all of this, he was like, lots of people have trials, no one's immune, and this is just ours, and it's really not that bad. I'm like, what? It's pretty bad, though. We have 3 young kids, and it's definitely not anything I ever imagined happening to us. So,
is there anything else you want to say? You've been fantastic. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I don't mean to like spread this story as an attack on IHC at all. They're in just as hard a situation as we are, and they don't want it any more than we do, and it's just as hard for them to have to deny medical care to people. That's the oath they've taken, and they're not being able to uphold that. So I know that this is a very hard, hard call and a very hard situation they're in, and very hard decisions are having to be made, and it's just really unfortunate that there's a chance it could be avoided. And it's really hard that, I don't know, I feel inhumane kind of saying this. I don't know, but like decisions like this shouldn't have to be made at all, but they are having to be made. And it's hard that priority is being given, is having to be given to those who have decided not to seek available medical help. And it could be avoided when there's people that need transplants, like my husband, who have been doing everything they can to preserve their health. That's hard to stomach. People are, you know, entitled to their own decisions and their opinions, but those decisions are affecting so many other people who don't have a choice and are at the mercy of that. And so that's really, I just hope we can spread awareness of how other people are being affected by this situation in ways that they can't control.
This is an issue that oftentimes we hear it's presented as personal choice, right? To vaccinate or to not vaccinate. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is there is a trickle-down effect, and there is a big impact on the public, especially regardless of whether you have been vaccinated or you haven't. There are people who are not able to seek and receive the medical care that they need because of what we're dealing with. And that's hard. That's really tricky.
Yeah. So I don't believe people are doing it to harm other people, but that's the situation we're now in.
The family told us this week they are still waiting to see if they will be considered for the surgery should a matched kidney become available. Intermountain said it would delay surgeries for about 3 weeks. We have about 1 week left now, and they will reevaluate then. That does it for us this week here on KSL Plus. I'm Matt Rascone, and we'll see you again next week.